Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to the Grove Podcast. In today's episode, we get to hear from the lovely Lauren Chandler. Lauren is married to Matt, who serves as the lead pastor of the Village Church in Dallas, Texas. She's a mom to three kids, a worship leader, and writer, and she and Matt are longtime friends of passion. I got to sit down for a virtual chat with her, and she shares so candidly and vulnerably, and I'm confident you'll be so encouraged to hear from her today. So here's my chat with Lauren Chandler. Well, I've got Lauren Chandler on the line today. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. Hello, hello. Thanks for having me, Jordan. I'm so just honored to be here with you and the Grove Podcast. It's such an honor.
Well, we're pumped to have you. And I got to see you just, I guess, a little over a month ago at Passion Conference. You and Matt were in town in Atlanta. So Matt could speak here live for Passion Conference, and that was incredible.
It was so great. We loved being there. It was cool to finally see Passion City Church. We had never seen it. So getting to be there. And yeah, we'd never been there. And so we got to see what y'all's space and gosh, it was just so good to be there to see familiar faces. It was kind of a reunion of sorts. So we loved it.
That's awesome. And I loved getting, that was one of my highlights, one of my personal highlights was getting to catch up with you. I just always love getting to talk to you. We've gotten a chance to know each other for a long time. So it was fun to be in the space together. I just want you to take, you wear a lot of hats. You are obviously Matt's wife, who is a pastor. So you are a pastor's wife, you're a mom to three kids, you're a worship leader, a writer. Mm-hmm. So tell us kind of, just give us some context for what your current daily looks like these days for you and Matt.
Yeah. So married to Matt for, 21 years now, which is great. 21 and a half years.
Old pros.
A very young bride. Yes. He's much older than I am, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. Got to get that in there.
Been a pastor's wife. We've been at the Village for 18 years now. And actually, we know how long we've been there because our oldest, I was pregnant with our oldest right as we got there.
Wow.
And so she just turned 18 last Saturday.
That's so crazy.
So, which is crazy. I'm like, I'm the parent of an adult now. And so, you know, we're in a season where we have two teenagers and then an almost teenager. It's a different, interesting place to be. And then we changed our younger two kids' schooling. So our oldest is doing like an online only school, through Texas Tech has a high school program.
Okay.
So she's doing that. And then my younger two, they were going to public school, which we love public school, but we needed a change for different reasons.
Sure.
So they're going to school where they go, like part-time to private Christian classical school and part-time at home. So kind of a reality a lot of people are living in right now, but we like chose this. and so that's really changed a lot of just kind of my weekly daily rhythms where I have to be home more. I have to be accessible to my youngest. She's 11. And then our middle is 15. So he's pretty much self-sufficient, but our youngest is still trying to figure it all out. And so helping her, so I have to be home a lot more, which has kind of constrained me from doing some of the things. So like I love to lead worship.
Yeah.
I do that probably once a month at our church and help plan the sets. And then I also, I like to songwrite, but it's just been a really hard season to find time to like really dig in some time to do that. And then, I just finished writing a Bible study. Well, actually I finished writing it, in I think April, and with COVID and everything,
amazing,
I got pushed out back the release to, February 1st. And just doing writing like that. And so I've been in a season after having finished that Bible study, writing that Bible study, And then starting this season of a different kind of schooling, I've had to make adjustments and kind of press pause on a lot of content creation.
Sure.
but it's been good. And so I think I'm starting to find a rhythm again. And we'll kind of enter back into doing that kind of work and trying to figure out how to balance that with making sure kids are getting all their schoolwork done.
Right.
So, yeah. Yes. That's where I am right now.
Gosh, I know that so many people can relate to that. Even with you having teenagers, I'm sure, you know, your seasons have shifted and changed and
yeah,
just keep riding that wave.
Yes, it's for sure changing. I mean, that's, you know, when they were all younger, and so there's kind of a trade-off where, like, at one point I had a friend tell me she's got kids that are like all about 4 years older than each one of mine. She just steps ahead. She's like, you know, it was so great when, you know, you could just decide your schedule for your kids. It's like, right. Okay, well, we're going to go to Chick-fil-A with our friends
exactly.
from, you know, 10 to noon or 11 to 1, and then we're going to have nap time and right. all this. And so then they get older and they have like their own schedule
and
they
no
have
more their naps. Own lives
that, no, and no more naps. And so, but then you get to the place where you don't have to pay a babysitter anymore. Because
which is a whole other amazing thing.
Either you have one old enough to babysit for you, yes, or they're all like able to babysit themselves. Which
amazing,
is kind of awesome. So we can be like, you know what, we don't have anything tonight. Let's go get a date night, and we can just decide 5 minutes before.
Amazing,
so it's kind of awesome.
I want you to tell us, for those who don't know, a little bit about kind of a overview of what of Matt's story with his health and yeah. kind of where you were and then where you are. And just give us a mm-hmm. little glimpse of what that journey has looked like for you guys.
Yeah. So in 2009, we'd been at the Village for 6 years. It was growing. I mean, Matt was probably in the best shape of his life. He was working out consistently. We were eating well. And, Thanksgiving morning, he had a grand mal seizure out of nowhere. Had no other symptoms that led up to this seizure. And that seizure revealed that he had like a golf ball size tumor growing in his right frontal lobe. And he ended up going to see a neurosurgeon who was, praise God, able to completely remove the tumor because
Incredible.
Of its location. But he did diagnose him with a cancerous brain tumor, primary brain tumor. And so that started a really crazy season. Like when he gave us a diagnosis, his prognosis was like 2 to 3 years of life.
Man.
And so he went through radiation and chemo for 18 months. And it was a hard time. Our kids were, Audrey was 6, Reed was 3, almost 4. Actually, he was 4. And then Nora was just a baby. She was born in May of 2009. So she was only 6 months old when
wow.
he had the seizure. And so he was able to, you know, go through all the treatment, and it was tough. It was a rough time because I felt kind of like a single mom for
sure.
part of the month because I told him it's like almost like he had a menstrual cycle because he would be like on the medication for 5 days during the month and off the medication for the rest of the days. And so I'm like, look, you can empathize with me now.
There you go.
But anyway, a little different, but anyway, so. Those were hard like weeks because I felt alone, and then it kind of gave me a glimpse of, oh my gosh, is this what my life is going to be like because he won't be here because
right.
he might not live. And and so it was an interesting season because there was always that hanging over me, he might not make it,
right?
And then this other part that was like, but I trust you, God. I trust you that you can heal him. And I trust that you can sustain us no matter what happens. And so, but what was cool is probably a few months into his treatment, he was laying on the floor in our bathroom, and he just felt like the Lord say, "I've healed you.
Wow.
I've healed you." And it was really encouraging, but it was kind of one of those things like, okay, God, I believe you, but I'm going to wait and see too, you know?
Yeah.
And so it'll be 12 years this Thanksgiving since the seizure and diagnosis. So, you know, they gave him 2 to 3, then he kept living and hadn't come back, and we've had clear scans since then. And I think the last prognosis was 10 to 12 years. And that was probably 5 years ago, maybe even longer than that. And so we are just like, you know what? We believe the Lord has healed him, and he's going to sustain his life. And he used what medical means to do it, but he's preserved his life.
Amazing.
And we give him the credit for it, and we praise God for his life. And, you know, so it's, so today it feels like a distant memory for us.
Amazing.
He goes back every 8 months for an MRI and checkup. And so far, every one of them, we had one in December, every one of them have been cleared and he's looking good. And
amazing.
There's been no residual, effects of the, radiation. And
wow.
So we're just so grateful.
That's incredible. So talk about that belief and faith that you guys carry that really that has sustained you through this, through all these years, believing and trusting that he's been healed, and also continuing to be told this prognosis and having, you know, just kind of science and doctors saying something that isn't necessarily in conflict, but could possibly be, you know, for your spirit.
Right.
So how do you guys maintain that faith walk, and what does that kind of look like for you guys?
I think it starts with being honest with God, where I'm like, Lord, I want him to make it. I'm asking you that he makes it. I don't like the prospect of doing this by myself. I don't want that. But I trust you. And so, and I think how I maintain that trust is a relationship, like a real relationship with God, where I am in his word daily. I'm learning about his character, and then I'm experiencing his character. I'm praying and trusting him. I'm listening for him to speak to me in every aspect of life. Like having teenagers and like, Lord, I cannot control my kids. Like, I can do all I can to put parameters around them and to love them and to have consequences, but God, you hold their lives. So it's just a surrender to him with every part of my life, my kids, our future, Matt's health. And then just trusting, like, Lord, I want to believe that you have healed him. And it's that, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, where they're facing the fire and they're like, my God will, you know, will save us. And even if he doesn't, that idea of, I believe God has healed Matt, will keep him whole, even if he doesn't. You know, he's worthy of my worship. He alone gets my trust, and I will look to him no matter what. And so I think that's the place that we find ourselves constantly is we believe you have, you will, and even if you don't, you're worth my worship. You're worth my trust. And I'm going to believe that you've got something else going that would be better for all of us. You know, so, and then I think you've got to be really honest with the fact that there's an enemy of our souls who wants to steal our faith and wants to distract us and not believe God for who he says he is and what he says he will do. And so, really, you know, asking the Lord to deliver us from evil, like to strap on that armor, to fight another day, to believe that God is good no matter what. And that the enemy's going to try to get at that. So do whatever I can to protect it. And ask the Lord for help in doing that. Yeah.
That's amazing, Lauren. And it just sounds like a real testimony of you continuing to show up with your faith and the Lord continuing mm-hmm. to show you his faithfulness through mm-hmm. all the different seasons. And that's just the reality of who he is. And I love that you can testify to that with your own experience. That's such an encouragement. Mm-hmm. I want to shift gears a little bit, but while we're talking about Matt, I think it's really amazing what you guys have as a partnership, because you are married to this man mm-hmm. who has a big calling on his life. He's a pastor of a massive church and he also wears other hats and is in charge of other things that are big and grand mm-hmm. and he has a big personality. And you also have a calling, not only as his helpmate and the mother mm-hmm. of these three amazing kids, but you're also mm-hmm. called to be a worship leader. You have been given new and different experiences and opportunities to write and to share and speak. So I want you to take us through that journey of how you have handled mm-hmm. and considered your own calling while walking in the life that the Lord has the story that God's written for you guys. And what has that journey looked like? Take us through some of the different seasons. Mm-hmm. Was there ever any doubt that maybe you weren't supposed to do these things anymore, or that mm-hmm. you needed to put them on the shelf for a while? Tell us a little bit about mm-hmm. what that's looked like for you.
Yeah, I think, it was hard to reach any, and he was so, like, his gifting is just so obvious, you know, like he's a great preacher. He's a great leader. He's a great pastor. And even when we were, you know, dating in early marriage, he was teaching at this big Bible study that had grown underneath his teaching.
Yes.
He was traveling all over the place. And so, you know, for me, it was kind of safer to just be a little bit in the shadows, even though I could feel this tug, this desire, in particular to lead worship. That music's always just been dear to my heart. Like when I was young, I would just sit in front of the piano and just pick out a song and just sing a song or whatever, and it moved me. And I wasn't doing it for anyone but me. And then, you know, as a kid, I sang in choir, I sang at church and did all those things. But it was, I'm definitely a perfectionist. I definitely struggle with comparison. And I struggle with contentment then. That kind of goes hand in hand.
Sure.
And so, and I'm just real hard. I'm real hard on myself. So I could see Matt, you know, just doing what he does and being invited to these spaces. And of course, if he's speaking at this big, you know, conference or college student thing or whatever, there's going to be an equally like talented, seasoned worship leader. So like Chris Tomlin, like the Shane, like I'm trying to think of different people that Matt would work alongside. And I remember thinking, gosh, I just can't see where I fit in this, because I'm not that caliber. I'm not going to make that grade in my head. And so it was really frustrating, because I was like, Lord, I have this desire to sing, to lead worship, to glorify you with my voice, to encourage people to worship you and to connect with you through song. But man, I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I'm good enough to do this. And I remember we were like at a camp somewhere. And I remember just kind of having it out with the Lord. I was like, either like take this desire away from me or do something with it. And we were at a church. This was in Abilene, Texas, where it was a, a charismatic church, and they had this prophet and his wife come in to like prophesy over us. And so I was like, okay, this will be interesting. You know, I see where this is happening. This happens in the Bible, you sure. know, where there's a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, whatever. I'm curious. And so I was really in a season of struggling with, Lord, if I'm supposed to lead worship, open a door, you know, whatever this looks like, or just take this away from me completely.
Yeah.
And the guy who was speaking called Matt and me out, and he had us stand up, and he told Matt, he's like, when I look at USC, like the world behind you, kind of that you're going to have this, you know, global influence, or that you, you know, you have gotten to go places that you, that most people your age haven't, which was true. And the global, now I see that that has proven true, because he's the president of a global church planting network called Acts 29. And then he looked at me and he said, when I look at you, I can see and hear songbirds all around you. Wow. And so that just brought me to tears, because I, for me, it was, I have given me this gift to be my songbird, to put other, and maybe to put other songbirds around me. I haven't really fleshed it all out, but in that moment was a, it, to me, it was an encouragement of just keep loving me.
Yes.
Don't, you know, keep working through this, because I think what the Lord needed to do was work through my heart, that, there was some perfectionism that needed to die. There was some glory hunger. Like, I wanted to be impressive. You know, I wanted people to like my voice. I wanted to impress people. And so it's kind of like a, like trying to steal glory from the Lord, like for myself, instead of it going back to Him in leading worship. And so that was kind of the beginning of a really long and rough road to freedom.
Wow.
In that. And I ended up, gosh, that was probably 6 years later, got to go through recovery, Celebrate Recovery at the Village.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of the best things I've ever done in my walk with Christ. And I just got to lay it all out there and lay down worship leading, where I was like, Lord, the desire for me to be impressive more than to lead people in worship is ugly in your sight. Like, it is. It's sin. And so I understand if you never let me touch that stage again.
Wow.
But then in recovery, the people that were leading it were like, would you want to start leading for recovery?
There
so
you
I was
go.
Like, okay, God. Okay, here's the answer. And that began like a time where I had a lot of satisfaction. The first time I've had satisfaction leading worship, because it was less about what I sounded like or performance. And it was more about really leading people into adoration and connection with the living God. And so that changed everything for me. And
amazing.
It hasn't been, you know, just smooth sailing since then. And then I've had to just realize that is one thing that I do, but it's not all that I do. And it's for sure not who I am.
Yeah.
I am first and foremost just a daughter of the living God, and I'm loved by Him, and He's given me attributes that have nothing to do with getting on a stage and leading worship, that really shape who I am, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Or really speaks to who I am, that transcends worship leading, writing a Bible study, you know, or a children's book, or helping Matt lead a church, you know? And so that's what I'm learning right now.
Amazing.
Probably the past year or so, like, okay, I bring something just in how God's made me that has nothing to do with what I'm actually doing. And so I bring it into the different spheres of what He invites me into. And so I think I so wanted to just, I wanted to title, have an identity in something, like, I want to be a worship leader who writes, or I want to be a writer who leads worship, or I want to be a teacher, speaker, whatever. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. You get to be Lauren,
That's
who
awesome.
I sometimes call to teach or write or lead worship. Or so it's been a journey, and it the Lord shaped me in it, and he's held my hand through it, and it hadn't been easy, but it's been worth it.
That's incredible. I love that. And I love the, I really think there's something for everyone in that. And don't you just find so much freedom when you can just be Lauren to God and know that that's enough? And I just, I know that that has to bring you so much freedom as you do these other things that he's called you to, when you do lead worship, when you do get to write, when you do get to speak, that you can just do that with so much freedom, knowing that you come into that place already enough for him, and that's enough for everybody else.
Yeah.
Talking about kind of where you are right now, when we were at conference, you and I got to catch up a little bit, and you mentioned that this last couple of years have been some of your toughest in life and ministry. Yeah. And I wonder if you'll just kind of share a little bit, whatever you feel like is, you know, appropriate or whatever details you want, but just kind of how you've navigated that season.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. I would say, honestly, 2020 was not too bad. It was like 2018, 2019 that were really hard for me personally. And then I would even say for Matt. And for me, it started with kind of a relationship that went sideways. That just kind of hurt my heart.
Yeah.
And made me question a lot of stuff. And then there were just a couple of situations after that, just that felt like one thing after another, that felt like, you know, I'd turn around and here's one thing. And it all, some of it involved the church and Matt's position there, and things that were happening either on staff or under his watch that were just confusing and not clear, and some things right out, lies being said about my husband, and and then just I think an attack from the enemy. Just it felt like on all sides, even like in our home, it was a struggle. It's so hard. And so there was part of me, and there were a couple of days where I was like, you know what? We can figure something else out to do for a living.
Surely,
you know, we have friends that are my parents are realtors. We have friends that are like real estate, like with ranches and stuff. Maybe we could just, let's go move out to a ranch and we'll be ranchers.
There you go.
And we'll Jesus with our cows.
Totally.
And, anyway, but, you know, I think I had to go there. And part of it was, you know, Matt had this mantra where he felt like it was from the Lord, where, when he got to the village, it was like our 40 years. And I was like, at the beginning, I was like, 40 years, we got this. We're going to be here. We're going to make it. And so then like 16 years in, I'm like, 40 sounds like a lot.
Yes.
I don't know if I can make this. And I think I had to, to question it. I think I had to tell Matt, I don't know if I can make it 40 years. Can we just be open-handed about that 40 years?
Yeah.
And I think I needed to hear Matt say, yes, we can be open-handed. And I just needed to work through some hurt. I needed to, I think too, I wanted adventure, and things had felt a little stale at the church, and for different reasons.
Sure.
And I wanted an adventure. And so the Lord started moving some pieces and bringing healing. And I feel like right now we're kind of at the cusp of a new adventure at the village. And I'm really excited about it.
Amazing.
It's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be that much different. But I feel like my heart's in a better place. I feel a little bit more ownership of the village, where before it was kind of, I'll take care of the kids and our family and you do the church. And of course, Matt was always, he's always led our kids and our family and all that. But I've kind of just said, I'll lead worship at church and I'll volunteer here and there. But, you know, the village thing, you know, I'm not on staff. I'm,
sure.
you know, not super involved. I mean, I always like to know what's going on. I am nosy. Yeah.
But, there's that.
I think through it, those 2 years in particular, it was so hard. I think I started to get a little bit more invested too in the village. And I feel like the Lord was asking me to step into a more motherly role at the village, even though most of the people, our church are not most, but a lot of them are older. In fact, my parents are members of the village.
Yeah.
But felt like the Lord invite me into a motherly role.
Beautiful.
I'm kind of wanting to step into that. And
it's awesome.
And so it was a hard season. It was a season where I kind of wanted to quit and yeah. wanted a new adventure. And we'd have friends leave for good reasons, for different reasons.
Sure, yeah.
They'd been on staff. We thought they were going to be on staff for 40 years with us. And I remember looking at them and thinking, I'm kind of jealous. They get to go take all that they've learned, the good and the bad, from being at the village and start fresh somewhere. That sounds amazing.
Sure, yeah.
But I feel like the Lord's giving us a fresh start, even while we're still at the same place we've been for 18 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've ended up in a good place. And what's interesting is, you know, I wrote a Bible study on Numbers
yes.
on the wilderness. And during that time, I felt like I was going through a wilderness. So,
wow.
The Lord's so good to keep me like humble and with integrity. So,
right.
If I'm going to write about the wilderness, I better live it.
That's so, right. Yeah. And now you can offer that experience to all of those who are going to be going yeah. through this Bible study. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you allowed yourself to be honest with the Lord and also honest with Matt. I mean, I imagine that was not an easy conversation to present to him that
yeah.
you might want to like take a new direction.
Yeah, it was scary, but I think through some of the hard parts, we have kind of forged our relationship even stronger. So I felt like I could be honest with him.
Yes.
And he was so great, you know. It was scary to bring that to him, but because of the hard parts that we'd gone through, it kind of forged our relationship so that I could feel safe bringing that to him and know that he knew my heart, that I was like, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever you feel God's leading you to do, but this is how I feel.
Absolutely. That's amazing freedom to have and that vulnerability. And I think that's what we need to hear today, I think, is the freedom to be honest first of all with ourselves and then with the Lord and say, like, this is truly where I'm at. What can you do with this? What can you do with this place? And then taking that to your husband and just allowing it all to be out there so that it doesn't just fester and become bitterness. But then to see the journey that the Lord had you on. And now I can only imagine the richness that you were able to write from as you were talking about a wilderness season and now offer that to everyone everywhere, you know, through this Bible study. And that's really beautiful. Lauren, I love you and I love everything that you offer and all the things that you are that we can see. But you are so, one of my favorite things about you is your vulnerability and your willingness to just share the real parts of you. And I think that's always been who you are and it remains that. And I love that you are able to step into a more motherly kind of role at church because I think that those are the best kind of moms, you know, the ones that are going to be real with their life and honest with their struggle. And those are the ones that are going to be able to offer the most comfort and safety to the people around them. So I'm excited for you guys and I'm excited for the village and all the things that you have ahead. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jordan. And I just, I'm so grateful for you. And I love that our friendship goes way back. And I thank you for how you've just been so gracious to me. And it's been so neat to see what the Lord's doing in you and through you and Jeff. the Passion City and the Grove and beyond. And so I am just cheering y'all on all the way from Dallas.
Well, thank you so much. We're cheering you guys on, and we are so grateful for your friendship, everyone here at Passion mm-hmm. City and the Grove. And we look forward to one day being in the same space again. Thanks for coming on the podcast today, Lauren. We love you.
My pleasure. Love you too.
Well, I'm sure by now you adore her as much as we do here. And if you want to hear more from Lauren, be sure to check out laurenchandler.com to find her books and her new Bible study that she mentioned called With Us in the Wilderness. As always, stay tuned in with us at thegroveonline.com to watch our gatherings and get all the latest info with what's happening here at The Grove. And we will catch you next time on The Grove Podcast.